This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, Lent. The 40 days before Easter is marked by Christians with expectation as they prepare for the good news of an empty tomb, just 3 days after the death of a 33-year-old itinerant preacher on a hill just outside of Jerusalem. Although we as Christians celebrate that morning of joy, we sometimes forget that the words of the carpenter from Nazareth cry out to us to take his gospel into the world, not just for one Sunday, but every day throughout the year. Join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. as we read the words of Christ, compelling today, even as they were over 2,000 years ago. Visit our website, rocksprings.umc.org, or like us on Facebook. Join us at 1550 Negger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, April 18th, 2021. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. In order for you to move in us, O Lord, we need to open the door. In some ways, that's the hardest step. We can be that mountain which seems impossible to move. Through our joys and our fears, our laughter, as well as our tears. Move us this morning, God. The door is open. And welcome.
Prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us take a moment of silence as we center our spirits together before the very throne of our loving God. Let us pray. Merciful God, hear our prayers lifted to you. Hear our petitions on the behalf of others. Hear our urgent call upon you to touch the lives of those who are near and dear to us, to touch the wrongs that are in our lives, to forgive us our sins, to touch and heal those who are sick and afflicted, to comfort those who mourn, to be with those who are lonely, and give light to those who suffer in the darkness of depression. Wherever people struggle, God, may they find you there. May they find comfort and strength, peace and grace. May they find a presence that they can't explain except to give it to you. And Father, as we bring our hearts and lives before you, we pray for one another. As the Apostle Paul reminded us to pray for one another without ceasing, to pray continuously. And Father, in that it is when someone comes across our mind, may we say a little prayer. When we think of someone we know who is struggling, may we take a moment as we care. And Father, we extend our prayers to other communities of faith where Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for Christians around the world. We pray for revival. But Father, we know that that's likely to come with a high cost. That it'll stir and cause change. So be it. And Father, as we pray for change and revival, we pray that Christians would adhere to the principles taught. That we would begin first in our own homes, in our own communities, as did the early church, and that the hope and grace of Christ would be spread through each and every one, one by one, so that that old hymn that only takes a spark would come to life. And Father, we pray for our nation and nations around the world. We pray for truth and honesty, integrity. We pray, Father, that morality would guide us in integrity. And that is through you. Father, we pray for other nations around the world, that we would learn war no more. We pray for the oppressed and the oppressor. We pray for those who hide in secret to worship a living God, for those who bravely stand and proclaim His name. And Father, we pray for those who serve our nation, whatever the capacity that may be. Father, we pray today for peace. We lift up our Native American brethren today on this special Sunday. Father, you know the plight of those people, and we pray and lift them up today. And now we'd pray and ask one another to join as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought what they were seeing was a ghost. He said to them, Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, Have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The word of God for the people of God.
Jesus once again appears for this final time with his disciples, and they are afraid. Let's don't be too hard on these old boys. How many of you would be comfortable in a locked room and a dead person showed up? I mean, honestly, would you not be a little bit upset? I'd probably shoot them. I'm sorry. That's just probably what I would think. If you wasn't dead, you're going to be. You know, this. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, let's be a little bit less cruel on these disciples. I mean, in all honesty, how hard is this to believe? But wait a minute. Jesus had told them that he would do this very thing. He had told them that in 3 days I would rise. He told them, they must kill me. I must be put to death. He had just told them this in John 13, how he would have to die and after 3 days rise from the dead. And in chapter 14, he said, he looked at them and they were going, deer in the headlight look, you know. And he says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. So you see, he's told them, but here he is. They can't believe it. So he says, it's me. Don't be afraid. Look, I got holes in my hands. Now, you know, that would worry me too, just to be honest. Why ain't this guy leaking? You know, if he's alive, he should be bleeding. And he says, the holes in my side. And then he says, well, that's not working because it says they were happy, but they were still doubting. Did you see that? So he says, well, have you got anything to eat in here? It sounds like Nick. This guy eats more. But stand up, Nick. Stand up. Come on. I'm going to pick on you. You're here. You're handy. Look how tall he's getting. So we're cutting back on the food. We think it's fertilizer for the little boy. It's just, he don't need to get taller than me. I mean, it'll be a tough time. How many of you have raised boys? You know how tough it gets about the time they hit that stretch, don't you? I'll fix him. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, he says, have you got anything to eat? And they say, sure. He gives a piece of broiled fish, and he eats it. I don't think they're still very, you know, convinced. I think even though he's offered them to experience him in any human way they could, they still are doubting. And, you know, I think that if I had been with him for 3 years and I'd heard his teachings, and now this isn't the first time he showed up behind a locked door, by the way. If they were struggling, what about us 2,000 years later? And the Messiah hasn't appeared to us in a closed room. He hasn't shown us his hands and feet. He hasn't asked for anything to eat. So how much more would we struggle to believe? You see, believing requires some things, some understanding. A deeper understanding of who God is and the plan of God to send his Son. It begins early, as Christ is there in the Genesis story, the creation of the world and humanity. And he's there in the fiery furnace with three Hebrew guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the king looks in, I said, I thought we threw three in. How come there's four and one of them looks like the Son of Man? He's in the order of Melchizedek, who just shows up in the middle of a tough time in the nation of Israel's history. He shows up throughout the Psalms, and Jesus said, all the words about me in the books of Moses, the first five, the prophets and the Psalm had to be fulfilled. And then it says, he opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. Understanding. Regretfully, it seems that we live in a time and an age when understanding isn't very sought after. We might even be in what I would call an intellectually challenged time, when people are afraid of anything other than an opinion. And Christians are no different. We run on opinions. What does somebody else say about it? What is their opinion? What are their thoughts on it? What are yours? I remember when I was doing my master's study, Dr. Muya Sango, she said, I wrote my first paper, and I got a C. Folks, I'm not bragging. That was the first C I've ever got in my life. I couldn't think. It just blew me up. And I went to see her. And I said, what did I do wrong? How can I fix it? She said, you're in a master's level class. I know what Bonhoeffer said, and I know what all of these dead people said. I want to know what the live one says you. Go to the primary sources and you tell me. You're a theologian. That was a new concept to me. You don't want me to regurgitate what somebody else said. You want me to have a thought? And then when I was defending my PhD thesis, you better have your thought ready because they're going to test it. So I learned that in order to do that, I was going to have to go back and I'm going to have to do Hebrew and Greek. And I thought, oh, but it was enlightening. Because what I found out was the very Bible I read is already someone else's opinion. It's what they have decided it says. And sometimes, and you know I correct that sometimes when we're reading it, they get it wrong. Because it's been a few years since any of this was done. How many of you read a King James Bible? You got a real up-to-date one there, guys. It's 1611. Might have been some things that are a little differently translated today. These, thousand, those, we don't use those much. And here's a New Revised Standard Version. It's pretty up-to-date, 1979. Now, for some of us, that wasn't that long ago. But for some of you, you're going, wow. Nicholas is thinking only a dinosaur could remember 1979. What are you thinking, Gary? Are we dinosaurs? Nah, good. Whew, good answer. So understanding, but today it's an illiterate society because we go live on sound bites. We don't read, we don't research, we don't study, we don't try to find out what the truth is. People today don't even know who Jesus is. Three generations are absent of who Christ is and who he is. He is a real person. He was and is a real person. He is in the history books of Roman history, Roman antiquity, antiquity, and in the history of Josephus, the history of the Jews. He is recorded. They record his history. He is a historical person. You can actually go read a cumulative work called Encountering the Historic Jesus, where they've went through the history books and they have compiled the historical data on who Jesus is. He was a real walking, talking, living, breathing person, and he's a resurrected Savior today. But nobody goes to find that out. You know what's really bad is Christians today are waiting to see what the next biblical scholar can tell them rather than reading their own book. Just in my tenure as a pastor, I'm going to test you and I'm not trying to embarrass you. How many of you would hire a carpenter that showed up with no tools? Would you be impressed? How many brought your Bible to church this morning? Think about it. How many is going to take your car to a mechanic that don't have tools? How many of you are going to go see a doctor that don't have a degree? Think about it. If you don't read it, how do you know that they're telling you the truth? When they tell you their opinion. You see, we live on opinions today, not facts, unless they suit your opinion. Our society today won't argue the facts, they argue opinions. I'm old as dirt, I guess, but I remember, how many of you remember the news when it was news? They told you what happened, and you had to decide what you did with it. Here's the fact. Hey, I loved an old show. I don't even know if you can, I'm TV illiterate. I don't even know how to work my TV, really. And we had one, and it was called Dragnet. Does anybody remember that? You can't even use that word today. Somebody will think you just said something really bad, you know. Yeah, but it was Dragnet. And have you remember Sergeant Friday? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. I don't need your opinion. I just need the facts. You know, we don't live in that world today. Have you talked to some people today, all they can do is burp out opinions that they've heard from somebody? They don't have a fact to go with it. It's amazing to me that we live in a society where you can't have a conversation today, because all you get's opinion. Nobody listens to you to understand you, do they? They listen to put their 2 cents in. They don't listen to comprehend. How in the world, church, are we going to be able to evangelize and witness? Do you see what's been done? Over these years, they've pushed the church out of the public square. They've slowly but surely persecuted us out of an area of witness and influence. And we were mostly happy to go that way. It suited us. I hear people all the time, I have never asked anyone in 30 years of pastoral ministry, I've never asked anyone why you were not at church. Never. It ain't none of my business. That's between you and God. But here's the test. I always get people who, I guess they feel guilty. I show up with a collar on, they go, I'm sorry I wasn't at church Sunday, Pastor. My ingrown toenail was acting up again. Yeah. I got to tell you, the best excuse I've ever heard. There's a few reasons not to come to church. I can't walk, can't drive you. Maybe there's some reasons can't. But this lady, she hadn't been 3 Sundays. Now, remember, I live in the southeast, down next to the North Carolina, South Carolina line. It's June. Do you know how hot it already is back there in June? You done been mowing your grass for 3 months. By June, the corn's up knee high. I mean, that's just the way it is. By then, all the peach trees have bloomed and they got little peaches coming on. I mean, so I go by and I see this lady and I visit with her and her husband, and she says, I'm so sorry I hadn't been able to be at church. And I didn't ask her. I said, well, we've missed you. And she said, well, I got my hair cut and I was afraid my ears would get cold. Well, there's that. There's that. And then there was the time that I didn't ask. Remember this. I got a phone call at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It was one of my church members. He said, Pastor, I can't come to church this morning. My back's out. And I said, Gene, I should have said it. I said, Gene, I'm so sorry your back's out. I didn't need to know. But he told me. Well, I got a call after church. I need to go to Ernestine's house. Her husband was sick and bad things was going on. And so I went out and we had a golf course. And you had to drive through between the two sets of front nine and back nine. And I drove through, went out to come back through. And lo and behold, there was Gene about to tee up on number one. And there was about 20 of them. They was playing in a dog fight. I don't know if you know what those are, where they gamble on Sunday and can win money. Gene's a good golf player. I seen him. I peeled my car off the side of the road, and I went running up onto that green. Gene, oh, my God, praise God, we've got a miracle here. He couldn't make it to church because his back was out. And I hugged him up, and I said, let's all hold hands and praise Jesus. And that man turned blood red, plumb out to his toes. And there was 2 more church members who had cut church and they were hiding in the back. I didn't see them till I done made my show, you know. Gene didn't miss no more church to play golf. You know, excuses. Here's the test. Tell it to Jesus and see if it holds water. Just tell Jesus, I'm not going to church this morning, Jesus, because. See how that works. Somebody said, well, Pastor, it's the only day I have to spend time with my family. Then you're doing things wrong. If you've got down to one day you're spending time with your family. Pastor, it's the only day I can sleep in. Then you're doing something wrong if that's the only day you can sleep in. Pastor, it's the only day I can relax. You're doing something wrong if that's the only day you can relax. Well, Pastor, I just got to get caught up on stuff. I said, you're doing things wrong if that's the only day you can get caught up on. Think about it. Think about it. Understanding, what is it? Well, it's what you and God talk about. When you open your Bible, it isn't about going in there with a pick and a shovel to get what you want out of it. It's about you going there and letting God give you what you need. It isn't going in there to prove a point. It's in there for God to show you something. Before you open that book to read it, remember it is the living Word of God, inspired and inerrant, I believe. It's amazing to me that God used those imperfect people that's in that book. But I guess that's something only God could do. There's no doubt that it's God at work. And the thread of the Holy Spirit weaves through the whole thing, cover to cover. You need to spend time in there. Gone is the day when I would see people come with a Bible held together with duct tape, masking tape, electrical tape. Gone is the day when I would see tattered edges and worn corners. Gone is the day when I'd see it. Can I borrow yours, Cutes? Yeah. Gone is the day when I'd see it stuffed full of notes and papers and flowers that somebody... I ain't going to... shake this out because it'd be 3 days worth of work to get all this stuff out. If I ever need an old bulletin, I go right over here. This is the filing cabinet. They hang it out in here because she writes on them. She'll write your prayer concerns. She'll write your testimony. She'll write the things that you share. She'll write notes on the sermon so she can correct me after I'm done. There's a bad thing about living with a language arts teacher, and every once in a while I'll say, you know, you could put your finger on it. You heard that, didn't you? Finger? Not a finger, a finger. You got to put a finger on there. That way she can tell you later that you messed up. And that way she's focused on that. She don't hear anything else. You just get that one. You know, you just make it bad enough that it stops her and she sticks. Understanding is something Christ will do for you. Understanding of the Scripture is something we need in our lives. Don't go on somebody else's opinion. Don't go on mine. Get in your own book and read the own words and let God speak to you. Pray before you open this thing. Let it come alive and change who you are. Change your perspective. Change your interpretation. Enlighten you. Give you new eyes to see and new ears to hear and new words to share. Let the Word of God come alive in you. God will do it. God will change you. God will empower you. Pastor, what do we do about this world you're talking about we're living in? Let's work on it one person at a time. Let's go to our neighbor. Let's go to around our own kitchen table. Let's go to our own backyard barbecue. How about we worry about our own backyard and it'll grow? That's how the early church started, with a few men in an upper room scared to death of a ghost. To brave disciples preaching, proclaiming, and giving their very life. Fellowship, Bible studies. I remember a time when, and I've looked at your church history, this church was bulging at the seams in Sunday school. People were hungry to share that fellowship and that Bible study. You know what's really cool about a Bible study? You can take John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have eternal life. And you can put that in the room full of five or six believers who have prayed about it, and you're going to get to see that text come alive in a way you've never experienced it before. You're going to get to see the different facets and the different ways that that one scripture, that one verse, has changed, touched, and influenced people's lives. You see, that's what you experience together in the Word of God. Understanding is a depth, not a shallowness. Understanding is something God will bless you with by His Holy Spirit. I love poetry. How many of you like poems? But I'm an odd duck. How many of you enjoy metaphysical poetry? How many of you go, I saw Pepper, she went, John Donne's my favorite poet, but I'm not going to share that with you this morning. I got something a little lighter for you. But I always love to try to figure out what the poet means, especially with metaphysical poetry. And I really try to figure, and you know, have you ever just wished you could talk to the author? Just sit down and say, okay, when you wrote that, what did you mean? They'll probably say, well, I was just sitting on a mountainside and that's what come to me, and I just put it down inspired. Didn't really have anything in particular. Then again, they may have. But this one I want to share with you this morning. Carrie found this, and this is one of her devotional books by Billy Graham. This is an anonymous poem that he shared in this devotional. And I want you to really think about this as I read it and share it with you. This is about Christ. This is about Jesus. This is what this person wrote. He who is the bread of life began his ministry hungry. He who is the water of life ended his ministry thirsting. He who was weary is our true rest. He who paid tribute is the King of Kings. He prayed, yet hears our prayers. He wept, but dries our tears. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet redeemed us. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, but is the good shepherd. He died and gave his life, and dying destroyed death for all who believe. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, may we seek understanding, depth, meaning. May we seek understanding and truth through grace and in mercy. Father, may we seek it in the life we live, the witness we share. Father, let us be bold to share our faith journey with those around us. Let us hold up our excuses before you and see if they really are valid. Father, let us find truth. For you have said that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray for understanding, a depth of knowledge based not in what we've heard, but what we know. Father, may you move within us to stir within us a deeper understanding. May you move within us a desire to read your word, to let it influence who we are, what we see what we hear, that we would have time to listen, to understand, that we would stand for truth, not just opinion, that we would be open-minded. Because, Father, sometimes it isn't the question that we should hear or the statement that we should remember, but to seek to know what was behind that which we heard. Maybe it's a call out in pain. Maybe it's a brag to hide deficiencies. Let us seek truth. May we truly listen. May we truly pray. And Father, may we listen for you, for you have said, "Be still and know I'm God." Father, may we shut out the world and the noise, the video images, the social media, and spend some time in silence listening for your still small voice, that we may really experience understanding. For understanding goes far beyond just a knowledge of something. Understanding goes deeper. And let us not depend on our limited view and understanding, but upon yours, who has no limits. May we come to understanding in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the God of grace, love, and peace go with you, bless you, comfort you, and strengthen you as you go forth to serve. And truly, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding be yours, go with you, and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, and go in peace.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.